Well, let's turn back to Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to speak to you this morning on those few verses at the end of the chapter, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. I'm going to be addressing mainly this morning those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have recognised your own sinfulness and your need of a saviour and who've trusted in him for salvation. If that's your experience, then that means that something miraculous has taken place in your soul. That having been dead in trespasses and sins, God has made you alive in Christ by the power of his Spirit. The Bible refers to that as being born again, because it's the beginning of a new existence. It's the start of a new life, a life that is lived for Jesus Christ. What exactly does that life involve? That's what I want to think about this morning. What does it look like in practice? There are all sorts of instructions about how to live as a child of God. And you'll hear plenty of advice from other Christians and exhortations from the pulpit. And sometimes it can feel like so much it's confusing. And you need to ask, where do I start with all of this? Well, in our passage this morning, the Lord Jesus tells us plainly that one thing is needed. There's only one matter that needs to be the uppermost priority for every believer. We want to know what that is, don't we? Well, Luke brings it out for us in this account of Christ's visit to a certain village where we're told a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And what an honour that must have been. And can you imagine the Son of God, the Lord of glory, knocking on your door and paying a visit to your home? What would he need to do? What would you, boys and girls, would you need to go and tidy your room? How would you make the Saviour welcome to your home? What kind of things would you need to do? Well, Mary and Martha, the two sisters in this home, they took two very different approaches to this visit of the Lord Jesus. And in his response to their approaches, he shows us very plainly what must be the most important thing for a follower of Christ. So we're going to have a look at both of them. We'll look at Martha first and then spend some time thinking about her sister Mary. Martha seems to have been the head of this household. It was she who invited Jesus in, probably with his disciples. And Martha welcomed Jesus by playing the part of the hostess. She wanted to make him as comfortable as possible, and so she set to work preparing a sumptuous meal. She was not wrong to do that. Something we need to be clear about. Jesus deserved to be treated well. And Martha loved him, didn't she? She really loved the Lord Jesus. And she wanted to make him happy. And we commend her for that. And we commend every Christian who takes after her. Praise God for those believers whose lives are full of service for the Lord. Whether they're doing outreach, Or going to meetings, or giving hospitality, or praying for the church. They're always busy in the work of the kingdom. We give thanks for that. That's how it ought to be, if it can be. But it does come with its dangers. And there are three particular dangers which we see in Martha's example. Let me take you through them. First of all, her activity and service led to distraction. And that's what we're told in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. Now that's hardly surprising. It wouldn't have been easy to feed 13 men in a hurry. She She'd have to get the crockery ready and set the table and sort out the drinks and the salad and the bread and the meat and vegetables and dessert and everything else. And Martha was pulled in every direction. And the result was she ended up completely ignoring the very guest who she was trying to welcome. Isn't that a terrible thing? Martha had the Lord Jesus Christ in her own house and she barely spoke to him. Just imagine one of her neighbours asking her later, what did he say? What did Jesus say when he visited Martha? I don't know. I barely caught a word of it. And that's not because she didn't want to. It's because she let all these other things, legitimate things, her service for the Lord, get in the way. That's something we need to be very watchful for in our service for the Lord. It's not only sinful things that can keep a Christian from a close walk with Christ. Good things like work and hobbies and family can crowd him out. Even Christian things can crowd him out. I know as a believer you'll want to give the Lord Jesus Christ your time and your strength and your energy and your whole life. And you'll want to be busy and active in serving him. But the warning here is that you must never let your service for the Lord become more important to you than the Lord himself. If your Christian life becomes all about service, then it will lead to distraction. To a distraction that keeps you from the very Saviour whom you're trying to please. So beware of distraction. Beware, secondly, of self-obsession. Sadly, we see it again in Martha as she slogged away in the kitchen. She was all too aware that her sister Mary was just sitting about, listening to Jesus, doing nothing to help. And as time went on, she got more and more wound up about it. You can only imagine her kind of stomping around the kitchen and slamming the cups on the table just to make a point. And in the end, it all got too much for her. The Greek words that are used here, they suggest a sudden interruption, that Martha burst into the room and she cut across the Lord Jesus, even while he was speaking. And what was so important? Martha was. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." She was criticizing Mary, wasn't she? She's left me alone. She was even criticizing the Lord. "Do you not care? You tell her to help me." Martha was bossing Jesus about. She didn't want him to be teaching. She didn't want Mary to be listening. They should both be listening to her right now. Why did Martha have such a self-centered attitude? It's clear, isn't it? It's because her focus was entirely on her service, on what she was doing. She found her value. She found her self-worth as a believer in what she did for the Lord. And so she needed that work to be recognized. She was saying, "Notice me, affirm me, acknowledge what I'm doing." Without even realizing it, her religion had actually become all about herself. So remember this. When your activity and your service become the sum total of your Christianity, then your mind will always be fixed on yourself, what you're doing, what you're achieving. It will make you selfish and uncaring. It'll block out your love for other people and even your love for the Lord, because it will lead you inevitably to self-obsession. And then thirdly, It will lead you to agitation. It can't have been easy being Martha, can it? And the Saviour recognised that. He said, verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." She was totally absorbed in her work. The meal had to be big and elaborate. She had to get it all just right for Jesus. Because remember, this was all he was going to see of her. But she put herself under such enormous pressure by thinking that way. With all these tasks she'd set for herself, these many things, she got herself into a complete state. How was she going to manage it all? Did she have enough water? What if the bread didn't rise? What if she burnt the meat? What if Jesus didn't like it? And he could see she was worried, she was upset, labouring under this terrible feeling that it was not going to be good enough. And the result was that Martha was not enjoying Jesus' visit at all. It was just making her distressed and anxious and fretful. Believer, your privileges as a child of God are immense. You have the Son of God as your friend and your brother. You have the promise of his presence and his love eternally. It doesn't get more glorious than that. But if you let your Christianity become all about your service for the Lord, then you will always be crippled by worry. We see this, don't we, in Roman Catholicism, in other religions that are all built upon our works, our good deeds. It creates a constantly fretful mindset. Have I done enough for the Lord? Have I done it well enough? Could I do any more? Could I do it better? What if I can't? Those who know the true gospel can slip into that mindset as well. And it's a sure way to rob yourself of that wonderful joy, of that peace and assurance that comes from knowing Christ and living in happy fellowship with him. You are not defined by your work for the Lord. Just make sure you remember that. He doesn't love you more because of what you do for him. He can't love you any more than he already does. Just let that wonderful truth sink into your heart. Keep hold of it there. Cherish it. We need to say goodbye to all that worry and agitation that's built on our own service, our own activity. We need to find a different approach, don't we, to our relationship with Christ. Happily, we see a different approach when we come to look at Martha's sister Mary. So let's move on to her and see how she approached this visit from the Saviour. The Lord Jesus told Martha that all these many things that she was worrying about, they weren't necessary. They weren't essential. He said, one thing is needed. And Mary had chosen that one thing, that good part. When Jesus came to Mary's house, she decided not to be a hostess, but a hearer. There it is in verse 39. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's the one thing that's needed. Listening to the Lord. Let me point out three things about Mary's listening on this occasion. First of all, take note of her posture. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She literally got down on the floor in front of him. And that outward posture of her body, it revealed the inner attitude of Mary's heart. There was a writer named Bishop Hall. I don't know anything about him, but he said this, which I found very helpful. He said, "I do not see Mary take a stool and sit by him, or a chair and sit above him, but desiring to show her heart is as low as her knees, she sits at his feet." I think that's about right, don't you? Mary was not placing herself over Christ's words to judge them. And she wasn't discussing things with him like a peer, sharing their different viewpoints. There was a real meekness in her outlook. By sitting at Christ's feet, she was saying, "I am ignorant. I need to learn from you. And I'll accept and I'll submit to everything you're saying. I'll be guided by it in every way." Now, I'm not suggesting that you need to sit down on the floor every time you open your Bible or hear a sermon. But I am asking, what posture do you adopt toward God's word in your heart? There are lots of professing Christians, sadly, who have lost Mary's sense of humility before God's word. They feel they can question what the Lord has said. There are far too many people who are part of evangelical churches who say they believe the Bible, but who won't accept what it says about any manner of things, about how the world was made. We know better than that, don't we, thanks to science. Or they dismiss what the Lord says on some of the hot topics of the day, about the different gender roles, about sexuality. Because we're more enlightened nowadays, aren't we? We're more civilized, surely. Well, they set aside Christ's teaching, his claim to be the only way to God, or what he said about the reality of hell. Because they say, to my mind, well, that doesn't sound very compassionate, doesn't sound very fair to me. And so even professing believers can undermine the absolute truth and authority of the word of God. Now, granted, the Lord sometimes says things that we don't understand or that we find hard to accept, that make us uncomfortable. But we need to remember, we are not God. We're his creatures. We're sinful creatures at that. We need a dose of Mary's humility, don't we? We need in our hearts to adopt her posture, to sit at the feet of Jesus, ready to listen, ready to learn from God's word. As well as her posture, let me point out to you Mary's priority, secondly. That's what the Lord Jesus praised her for choosing to listen to his words, for choosing that good part. Serving the Lord is important. Looking after the church building is very worthy. Doing outreach or teaching Sunday school or welcoming visitors, they are good. But hearing God's word in the right frame of mind, that's the one thing that's needed. You can't survive without it as a Christian. It's through the word of God, that the message of the gospel, that we first came to know the Lord, isn't it? And it's through his word that we continue that relationship, that we get to know him better. Through the word, the Lord points out the sin in our lives so we can repent of it. Through the word, he continues to reveal to us his amazing grace and mercy, so we keep on turning back to him. It's through the word that the Lord teaches us to grow in grace and become more like Christ. It's through the word he shows us his steadfast love and faithfulness, which give us a blessed assurance and peace in every situation. And yes, through the word, The Lord tells us how to serve him, how to order the church, how to evangelize, what to teach in Sunday school. It all starts with hearing and learning from the Word of God. That has to be our starting point. It has to be our priority. So is it your priority? Is it your priority in the morning when you have this choice between your quiet time or a lie-in? Is it your priority on Sunday? Every Sunday. Sunday evening even. Midweek. When the word is being taught. Is it your priority in your family life? When all the demands and the busyness can leave hardly any time for reading the Bible together? And I'd add, is it your priority in the life of the church? That's going to be something we'll all be needing to think about in the coming weeks and months, hopefully. There's so many things that have had to stop because of COVID, aren't there? And when the time comes and those restrictions are loosened, what's going to be the most important thing when it's time to resume our activities? What's going to come first? What will have pride of place in the life of the church? Surely it must be the ministry of the word. In every part of life, this is the one thing that's needed. This is the better choice to make the hearing of God's word our highest priority. Well, there's one last thing to take note of about Mary. We've seen her posture, we've seen her priority. Let's think finally about her promise. Mary's promise. At the end of Christ's visit to this home, when he'd left the house and the day was over, which sister do you think was the happiest? Well, the Lord told them how it would be. At the end of verse 42, Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. That's a promise from the Lord. It will not be taken away from her. The food which Mary prepared so carefully, so frantically, that will all have disappeared within an hour or two. But the good which was done to Mary's soul by listening to the words of Jesus, that would be of lasting benefit. It's through the scriptures that the Holy Spirit brings us closer to Christ. He leads us into a stronger relationship, a deeper fellowship, a more intimate knowledge of our Lord, and to all the peace and contentment and joy that flow from that relationship. And that's something that cannot be taken away by the passage of time, by sickness or old age or poverty. It can't even be taken away by death. We read earlier on from Isaiah, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Far beyond this short life. What will be the blessedness of heaven? What will it mean? What will it involve? To sit at our Saviour's feet and receive his word. Not through a book, then, but through the ears of our resurrected, glorified bodies. Then he'll teach us more of his power and his wisdom than we could ever learn here. Then he'll show us more of his glory. He'll reveal to us more of his goodness and his everlasting love. And we will respond to him and to his words in heartfelt praise and adoration. But you know what? Mary shows that you can start that now. You don't need to wait for heaven. Listen to the Lord's word today and every day, all through your life. Delve into it. Learn from it. Make it your greatest priority as a Christian to draw near to Jesus Christ in his word. It will do your soul good. Good that will endure forever. It can never be taken away. You have that promise from the lips of Jesus Christ. It will not be taken away from you. Amen.